Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope. One of my daughter Nora's favorite children's stories was written in 1960 by P.D. Eastman. Are You My Mother? It's a story about a hatchling bird whose mother, thinking that her egg will stay in her nest where she left it, leaves her egg alone and flies off to find food. But the baby bird hatches while the mother is away, and the hatchling does not understand where his mother is, so he goes to look for her. Well, he cannot yet fly, he walks, and in his search, he asks a kitten, "Are you my mother?" A hen, "Are you my mother?" A dog, "Are you my mother?" A cow, "Are you my mother?" An old car, "Are you my mother?" An enormous steam shovel, "Are you my mother?" If they are his mother, well, none of them are, and none of them replies. The whole time he is looking for where he belongs. This search taps into something of each of our journeys of faith. Where do we belong? As we welcome and baptize new members to this community on this Mother's Day, this Family Sunday, we recognize that asking this question is fraught with a myriad of emotions. There's folks here this morning who never really got along with their mothers, folks who lost their moms when they were young, folks who are grieving the recent passing of their mothers, folks who live far away from moms, or whose moms have chosen different life paths, those yearning to be and those who haven't been, etc., etc. The stories of mothering are with us on this day. In the same way, our families come in complicated shapes and sizes. Some we've walked away from, some who have chosen not to be part of our lives, some who we'd rather not admit to being related to, and others who we love dearly and miss desperately when we're apart. Love is messy. Today can be a really hard day for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. This day invites us to be in the mess of it all, to honor our chosen families, those who have played the supporting role in the action of our lives, those who've held our hearts in their hands when we haven't had the strength to hold our own heads up. As my best friend says, our family. Now, if you were a bass swimming in a lake, you would call them your shoal. If you were bees, you'd be part of a swarm. If you were camels, a caravan. Crows, a murder. Cheetahs, a coalition. Dolphins, a pod. Eagles, a convocation. Giraffes, a tower. Hippopotami, a bloat or a thunder. Hyenas, you would be part of a cackle. Jaguars, a shadow. Lemurs, a conspiracy. Lions, a pride. Locusts, a plague or a cloud. Otters, a romp or a raft. Owls, a parliament. Penguins, a colony. Porcupines, a prickle. Rhinoceros, a crash. Sharks, a shiver. Skunks, a stench. Starlings, a murmuration. Stingrays, a fever. Tigers, a streak. Wombats, a wisdom. Zebras, a zeal. I am grateful for Creator, for other creatures who can remind us of other names for what we can be a part of. We know that elephants are herds, but do you know that these herds spend most time separated by gender? Author Jen Hatmaker passed on a story to me about female elephants. In the wild, when a mama elephant is giving birth, all the other female elephants in the herd back around her in formation. They close ranks so that the delivering mama cannot even be seen in the middle. They stomp and they kick up dirt and soil to throw attackers off the scent and basically act like a pack of protectors. They surround that mama and incoming baby in protection, sending a clear signal to predators that if they want to attack their friend while she is vulnerable, they'll have to get through 40 tons of female herd first. When the baby elephant is delivered, the sister elephants do two things. They kick sand or dirt over the newborn to protect its fragile skin from the sun, and then they all start trumpeting, a female celebration of new life, of kin, of something beautiful being born in a harsh, wild world, despite enemies and attackers and predators and odds. They normally take this formation in only two cases, under attack by predators or during the birth of a new elephant. I wonder who your herd is. I wonder who would circle around you to protect you when you most need it. I wonder how we, as the church, can be more like elephants. If you don't really want to be an elephant, because they, I guess, have long memories as well. You might want to be a goldfish this morning. That's an option. Short memory, new starts. But we are a week away from Pentecost. So what about being a goose? What does it feel like to be part of a gaggle? Because when we see geese flying along in V formation, you might wonder why they fly that way. As each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird immediately following. By flying in V formation, the whole flock adds at least 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew on its own. I wonder why churches aren't built in V formation. When a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to go it alone. And it quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird ahead of them. When the head goose gets tired, it rotates back in the wing and another goose flies point. It's sensible to take turns doing demanding jobs, isn't it? Whether people or geese flying south. Geese honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. What messages would you give this morning if you were honking from behind? And finally, this is important. When a goose gets sick or is wounded by a gunshot, when it falls out of formation, two other geese fall out with that goose and follow it down to lend help and protection. They stay with that fallen goose until it's able to fly or until it dies. And only then do they launch out on their own or with another formation to catch up with their group. If we could have the sense of a goose, would we stand up for one another like that? To be in relationship, to know where you are invited and belong. Created for relationship. As writer Jim Taylor says, I believe we realize our full humanness in relationship with each other, with God, and with our environment. We most clearly reveal our true selves through the quality of our relationships. Other creatures can teach us about this too, but as far as I know, only humans have developed the range of relationships that humans have. Adding the overlapping layers of politics, science, work, recreation, among other things. And thanks to technology, our relationships are not even restricted to proximity. By email and internet, we can have friends and connections anywhere in the world. Witnesses to our stories, people who meet us in times of understanding. Today, we have three global partners worshiping with us from the United Church Partner Council here. They kind of snuck in the middle of the service, in the middle of the sanctuary. But Kangwa Mabluki, you are the general secretary, the director of an agency that offers distance theological education to 25 African countries based in Lusaka, Zambia. You have been doing this work, brother, for over 30 years. And we are your family today. Horacio Masones, for 20 years, you have been working in Argentina. You have been navigating a regional network of professionals, offering infrastructure and training to non-government organizations in Latin America and the Caribbean. And we are your family. Annie Namala, you have been doing human rights advocacy and research in India, which focuses on capacity building in communities, ending poverty and social exclusion. We learn from you, Annie, and we are your family. Family you didn't even know you had. Part of the body of Christ that on the days where you're like, I can't do it. I'm not sure what to do next. I don't know where I belong. You are part of a community that is working and serving around the world, trying our best, sometimes failing, asking forgiveness, and looking for God's grace where it can always be found. When someone came to Jesus while he was teaching and said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside wanting to speak to you, he responds to them with a rhetorical question. Who is my mother and who are my sisters and my brothers? He invited them to think about this, and he's inviting us this morning to ponder it ourselves, to think wider than just what we have known, to recognize community and family and the interconnection of all, to not be mistaken to think that the only ones to love are those who are related to you by blood, to see in God's world an invitation to be part of the body of Christ that crosses boundaries, that opens each other to knowing each other, even if you feel like you fly with a different flock. That's the point that Jesus is making with his question. We are invited to ponder who we're in relationship with, to know one another, to care for one another deeply, and to belong. For a group who loves and serves God together is Jesus' kin, his family. I'd like to bless you with words from this song. We're trying our best to follow in this way. To ask who is my mother and who is my brother, to know that it is all those who gather around Jesus Christ, differently abled, differently labeled, widening the circle around Jesus Christ, for all are welcome. Everybody, every ability, every color, creed, and nation, every gender, every sexual preference, everyone is welcome. Love will relate us. Nothing can segregate us. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Bound by this vision, we claim each other just as God claims us, for we are kindred in spirit through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.